My name's Dickie and I'm an addict. I'm really grateful to be here tonight. You know, I try to do a chair whenever asked because that's how I got the message, people giving up their time to pass on a message of hope to me. And that's what I hope to do tonight. I'll tell you a bit about myself, where I come from and where my life is coming now. I come from South East London in Bermondsey. I come from a large dysfunctional family. Both my parents were addicts. There was alcoholics. So I grew up with drugs around me all the time and drink. I'm one of nine, I'm the second youngest. But unfortunately, this disease which we've got claimed my younger sister and my brother, and they never did find the rooms like me, and that's one of the sad things that I really wish they had done. My addiction reared its head when I was about eight, I suppose. I drank some whiskey for a dare, a small amount, and got right off my face. I didn't really like the taste of it, but I liked the feeling I could talk to people because I always felt different, you know. And when I was at school, I was brought up a Catholic. I was born in the 50s, late 50s, and I was brought up a Catholic, and I went to a Protestant school, and I felt different straight away. I was made to feel different, because then there was a lot of troubles in Northern Ireland, and you know, and people didn't really like each other. But you know, due to living in a dysfunctional family, you know, I saw my elder brothers and sisters. They was mods. They used to take blues, all sorts of drugs like speed, black bombers, mandies, and draw. And I thought, yeah, that's all right. If they can do it, so can I. Because I used to look up to my elder brothers, and they didn't like the police. And we had bundles of police come round our house all the time. And like, as small as I was, I used to fuck them up. And I'd go on out of it, you mugs. And it just come with me all the time. So I become very anti-establishment. Anything to do with the police, the courts, I hated them. Anyway, I was put away at a very young age into an approved school. You know, and I used to run away as often as possible, feed my way back to London, and then I started taking puff, you know, drinking. There was always parties round our house, so I'd have a drop of this, a drop of that. And I loved it because, like I said, it used to make me feel more confident. You know, I'd come out of myself. We've only got 15 minutes, so I'm going to cut a long story short, you know. Through my addiction, you know, and my wants and needs to feed it, you know, there was no lengths that I wouldn't go to. You know, I've done every prison sentence imaginable. That's from Proof School, Detention Centre, Ballstall, YP, right the way up to maximum security prisons. I'm not saying this to big myself up. It's just where it took me, you know. Whilst in prison, you know, I still continued with my addiction. I fed it as best I could. You know, I've got 30 years of addiction. And, you know, I'm approaching 4 years clean now. Please God, like, you know. But for the newcomer, I'm only clean today. So we're on an even keel, you know, if you know what I'm saying. Whilst in prison, I manipulated people to come up and see me. I'd phone up, I'd say, look, you've got to send £100 round to Peckham, I've already had the gear, I'm going to get me throat cut and all the old balava that you give over. And I was gullible, and they'd go round and take the money round to these people, and then I'd go to the dealer in the prison and get the gear once it had landed. That went on all through my prison sentences. My last two sentences totaled something like 17 years, you know. And the first one I got, the 9 years, I'd done nearly 8 years out of that, which in back in the day I should have only done 6 years without parole. But due to fighting on the wings and taking drugs and that, I wound up doing near on 8 years out of it. I got released from Wandsworth Prison. Just say like I got released on the Monday. Instead of doing what any other hot-blooded male would do, was go home to his wife, because I was married at this stage, you know. I had someone meet me outside the prison. We went to the pub and had a few drinks in there. Then I went down to the skag house, the crack shop, and I turned up on a Tuesday morning about 5 o'clock and walked in like nothing's happened, you know. And in between time, believe it or not, I did find time to father some children, you know. And I thought I was a good father because, like, I used to go out and get a few quid, put some indoors, buy them nice trainers and clothes, give them food, roof over their head. But only since coming into recovery, I found out I was one bastard of a father. I was a nasty father, really. You know, that's how I thought was showing them love, was by giving them a few quid to get them out of the way so I could have a fix or a boot or a pipe or whatever. You know, and over the years, I was out for 2 years. I was a good liar, obviously. I'm a junkie. So I became a good liar. And in them 2 years I was out, I got a couple of not guilties. That's why I was out for that long. Then I got 8 years for a firearms offences. First 2 years of that 8 years, I run about the landing like lunatic, like you do. Then one morning the door just opened, and I don't know what it was to this day, I'd had enough. You know, my marriage was on the rocks, surprise, surprise. You know, and my wife, she doesn't take any drugs at all, and she stood by me from there on 18 years. You know, and I thought, right, that's it. I've had enough. So I went on to a drug-free unit. I've done the first 5 steps of NA, and I've done them properly. You know what I mean? It was hard. It wasn't no walk in the park. And I ripped things down that I never ever would have wrote before, because where I come from, I was told, tell them fuck all. You tell them nothing. But I realised, like, to get this out, secrets, they'll get me using, you know what I mean? So I let out everything, and I still am today, you know. Anyway, when I finished that, I knew I had a big void to fill in not taking drugs and running about, so I became a peer supporter for in the unit. It's like sort of like being a sponsor out here, helping newcomers. When I was released, I started coming to NA. I was very fortunate. I had a few friends who was already in recovery, and they took me to my first meeting. You know, and like I said, I'm nearly 4 years clean now, and I still find time to do 5 or 6 meetings a week, you know, because me, I need the meetings, you know. And without them, I probably would have fell by the wayside. If I'm lucky, I'd be dead, you know, because I know I've got another use up in me, but I don't think I'd ever be able to come back to these rooms. I tried all manner of ways of beating this when I was out there at different stages, but I tried everything on my own, you know. And the only way I've done it today is on a daily basis, is by coming to NA, getting a sponsor, and doing things that my sponsor suggests. Sometimes I do still porky pie, you know. Like, I should be doing my step 8, and I'll say, oh yeah, I've started, but I ain't. You know what I mean? But that's one of my faults, you know. Yeah, even when I was in hospital, you know, I still continued to use. I've got obstructive airways disease due to using the crack pipe and smoking the heroin and all the rest of it, you know. But in there, I still managed to get a couple of cans of Kestrel up each day in a £30 bag, you know. And they used to think I was the cleanest patient they had. You know, I used to go into the bathroom, put some cellophane over the smoke detector, run the bath, put my right leg in it and swish it about, you know, and wet my hair when I come out, and you know. But I was rotten, I never even used to wash in there. But I had the cleanest right foot in South London, you know. And that was, you know, that's where my addiction took me, to the madness, you know. But yeah, I have found recovery now. It's not been hard. And I always say this, you know, what we do now, or what I do, you know, it isn't a sprint, it's a marathon, you know. You cross the start line, but I never ever come to the finish because I'm continuously working on myself. When I first got clean, I thought, well, you know, I'm not picking up, I'm not drinking, so I'm all right. You know, but it's not all about that, it's about changing things. You know, I'll tell you something else is a miracle, yeah? I have not stole a penny since I've been out of prison. You know, and that's a miracle in itself because, you know, I would rob the eye out of your head and come back for your lashes later, you know what I mean? That's the sort of person I was. Yeah, I've got my friend's keys to his flat in my house now. That wouldn't have happened back in the day. And if he had it done, you know what would happen? He'd come home, he'd had nothing. You know, there'd probably be a geezer in there selling crack from now. You know? But, you know, and this is I've done a lot of hard work on myself, you know what I mean? And I'm a proud person today. You know, I can look people in the eye today. You know, I'm only 5'2", but in my cell, I'm taller than Peter Crouch. You know what I mean? And he's 6'7". You know, I don't run from the police today. I've got peace of mind. I'm a very rich person today, not in pound notes, but I've got peace of mind. I've got my self-esteem is high as a kite. You know what I mean? I see a policeman walking with me today. I don't cross the road. I walk past him because I've got nothing to fear. If I hear 4 car doors shut down in my square, I'm not up at the window thinking, is it old Bill coming up or is it someone coming to do me in? You know what I mean? And I know I've got an higher power because I've been stabbed, I've been shot at, I've been beaten, I've been thrown in bin chutes. People thinking I'm dead. I shunned my higher power years ago, but through that all now, I know he never ever left my side. Because if he had it done, I wouldn't be here today. I'm a great father today. You know, when I first come home, I waited 3 hours to get into Madame Tussauds with my boys. When we got to the door, I thought, great, we're in. And when I got in there, there's all steps going fucking up and up and round, and there's still queues. But I plotted, the only time I'd wait that long before is to go into a crack house or wait for a dealer. You know, I take my children out to museums today and everything. If they was here now, they'd probably they'd tell you, I know they were, he's still a miserable old bastard. You know what I mean? But I'm only human, we're all human, you know what I mean? But we can, if you want it bad enough, you can get it. You know, it took me 30 years, over 30 years, to pick up that white key ring. You know what I mean? But I've done it. I've worked hard on myself. And with a lot of help from people like yourselves, you know what I mean? I couldn't do it on my own. I tried many a time and failed. But that is why, you know, I've been to the House of Lords. I've been invited to the House of Lords and I've mixed it with the snobs and that. You know, I was eating bits of food I never even knew existed. You know what I mean? Yeah, I've been to universities. I've done a lecture in a university. Me. Had you told me that a few years ago, I would have said, get some of them drugs you're taking, you're fucking mad. You know? But these doors do open. You know, and it's really great to see such a packed room in that. Yeah, and thank you for having me. Cheers.